the war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien, and we're going to be talking about mind control. And certainly, they're both two of our favorite guests. And, of course, Kathy has an amazing story to tell, having been put under the control of the CIA and of course, subjected to all sorts of abuse and systematic forms of torture to alter her mind. And people think that sort of thing pretty couldn't happen in America. Why, we saw the program like that on television called The Pretender, but it wasn't just make-believe. This sort of thing really does happen. In fact, Mark and Kathy are going to be at a conference in Los Angeles in June where Dr. Colin Ross, who we've interviewed a number of times, who's taken care of many of the tragic victims of these horrible government mind control experiments, he'll be speaking there as well. Hi, Kathy, and hi, Mark.
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Hey, it's good to have you both here with us. And so, tell us a little bit about this conference you're going to be putting on.
Well, Dr. Stan, this conference is one that we are looking forward to for a number of reasons, and you mentioned one of the largest reasons is Dr. Colin Ross, who I've always held in highest esteem for his work in this area. And Dr. Ross has gained the respect of his peers all over the world in providing treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder and, of course, dissociative identity disorder and other dissociative disorders as a result of repetitious trauma or a singular trauma. You know, Dr. Stan, when you and I first started out doing shows, we really didn't have the support of many people other than well-read folks like yourself and ones who had spent a fair amount of time researching the topic of mind control and the government's role in it. Now it seems that we have lasted long enough to where the general population is watching some of our former politicians, the very ones named in Transformation of America, which was our first book. It was a condensed version of our testimonies before Congress, both houses of the Permanent Select Committee Intelligence Oversight and the UN. And now we're seeing those names come forth. And of all things, these people, like Dick Cheney, are admitting that they think torture is a good thing.
And, of course, really, those of you who haven't read The Transformation of America, it's well worthwhile getting. We carry it. And of course, Kathy talked about this, you know, several decades ago of Dick Cheney's involvement and her involvement with Dick Cheney and the torture. And, of course, Dick Cheney was the major advocate of torture in the Bush administration. Understand that this is official policy. The CIA has been doing it on children for years, and now, of course, they're doing it on captives. Many times innocent people they were simply torturing, and many of them they tortured after they'd given all the information. who could want to do something so horrible? And I think you have to recognize the very evil nature of what's going on. Kathy, you've been through this. You've lived through this. They've produced a dissociative personality in you. How long did it take you to get over the effects of what the government did to your mind?
Well, I was fortunate to have been extracted, taken out of that horrible situation by Mark Phillips, and he taught me the ins and outs of my own mind, and he taught me how to think. And for the first time, I was learning how to think instead of being told what to think, what to do, and the kind of abuse that my childhood involved just put me into a situation where I only followed orders and did what I was told. And then when Mark came along, I was able to heal.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guests today are Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien, and we're going to be talking about mind control. Actually, Kathy O'Brien was a victim of CIA mind control experiments. It's difficult to believe that this sort of thing could really go on in America, but it does. And now, of course, we find the official policy of the American government is torture. Perfectly all right as long as we're using it against the enemy, but of course we've been using it against many of our children taken from their families and utilized for these bizarre experiments. And certainly Dr. Colin Ross, who we've interviewed in the past, and if you'd like to get his material, we carry his book on the CIA doctors. That's the CIA doctors. In fact, Kathy and Mark Phillips provided us with a CD, CD-ROM we have that records the 1,800 pages of CIA, formerly secret documents, telling about these horrible, macabre experiments that were used on American people and the American population. But the average American has never heard of this. It's just too far beyond the pale. Certainly, Kathy, as you told people about this initially, I'm sure you probably got a lot of glassy eyes, people saying that sort of thing couldn't go on in America.
Well, the skepticism, if I may inject here, the skepticism that we received was met by my asking, what part of transformation of America seems preposterous to you, considering that absolute power corrupts absolutely? And why would you not think that someone in a position of extreme power would not abuse their position? And then, of course, we provided government documentation that was at that time FOIA. Then it became, when Bush Jr. took over, he reclassified it, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. That's like reclaiming your virginity. I mean, there were tens of thousands of these FOIA requests out and had been fulfilled by the government. But nevertheless, we were still fighting. We figured an uphill battle. And I told Kathy that eventually the truth will surface. It has surfaced. And the one thing the people should know about, and Kathy will be the first to detail all this out, is the fact that that torture does not extract information. It extracts anything the person can think of to say that will pacify their torturers so that they'll get stopped being tortured.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment with Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mark was just saying that torture doesn't work. Torture only, you know, it causes the people to say whatever they think that the other people want to hear or something, just so they'll stop being tortured. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever read the report of what happened at Avergrave, where they put electric wires around the men's genitalia and fried them. I mean, you've never heard this sort of thing. We have the Major General Tacuba's report. Of course, it cost him his military career. He was told, if he told the truth about what the American personnel did to those, many of them innocent Iraqis at that prison, that he would lose his military career, and he told the truth. And he was ordered to resign as a major general. He probably would have become a four-star general. But you see, in the military, you do what you're told, not what's right. And that's the great tragedy today. What we need are more people like General Tacuba, and a lot less like most of the people who get to be four-star generals who've compromised everything simply for promotion within the military. Well, Kathy, what year was it that you were involved with Dick Cheney? Now, this story is told in Transformation of America, and we've been talking about these things for, you know, 15 years or more. What year were you involved with Dick Cheney?
Well, I was familiar with Dick Cheney since 1977, but that was back in the years when Gerald Ford was, who was a local politician in my area, had gone on into the political arena and became the unelected president. So I've known Dick Cheney since then and then worked under him during the Reagan-Bush administration throughout the 1980s.
And here's
a totally
evil man, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of the Trilateral Commission. He really ran the White House during the Bush administration. Poor old George was simply a pawn in his hands. If you don't believe that, just watch the Saturday Night Live. Parodies that they put on at the beginning of the program during the Bush administration, and everybody knew that George Bush was a pawn. He just did what Dick Cheney told him. But Cheney was a truly evil man, and I won't try to tell you about what's in the book, but we've carried the book for a long time, and it described Dick Cheney. When did you write that book?
Transformation of America was released in 1995, and it involved a lot of deprogramming notes that had been compiling since Mark rescued me out of that situation in 1988. We've been speaking out on tortures, mind control, and Dick Cheney and George Bush Sr. being involved in it since that time. As quickly as I could think to speak for myself, I began speaking because I had a daughter that was in desperate need, and mother's love certainly is the biggest motivation to speak out that ever could be.
Well, I remember when I first met you, and it must have been pretty close to 14 years ago, 13 or 14 uh-huh. years ago. I mean, your mind still wasn't very clear at that time, but certainly it's cleared a great deal since that time. It's like a different person, really.
Well, I've been healing. You know, the healing process is exactly that. It's a process, and it's something that I'd be doing the rest of my life in some regards. But at this point, I have no switching at all. I'm completely true to soul, and I live the love that I am. I am, you know, that, and I have a continuity of thinking and an ability to speak out. And for those who aren't so fortunate to speak out, of course, this the healing mechanisms that Mark taught me are in our book, Access Denied, for Reasons of National Security. There's so many people that have been abused and tortured, traumatized to some extent or another, that they need this healing information. And people all over the world are healing with the information in Access Denied.
And that's really fascinating. I mean, I've had the opportunity of actually meeting and talking to other people who've told very, very similar stories, whether the victims of satanic ritual abuse or of CIA abuse. This is not that infrequent, and yet, of course, most people are never going to hear about it because you'll never hear it talked about on most radio programs. Well, Mark, certainly, is anybody going to make a motion picture or something to try to get this information out?
Well, Dr. Stan, that's a secondary objective. When we go out to California, we're going to be meeting with some people that have had this on the table for some time. The problem with funding was resolved a couple of years ago, and then the problem reemerged when Citibank and other funding, motion picture funding apparatus kind of folded up. But now it seems there's a renewed interest, particularly in Access Denied, because Access Denied really, it took us 16 years to live that book, Kathy and I, and it took us 3 more years just to write it. And it really does provide the solutions, and it is the story behind the story, which explains away all of the things that were in trance. One of the odd things that most people, and you mentioned the fact that the book was written in 95, it was published in 95 by us, and it was actually written over a period of time, but it was it compiled in 93 and 94 from our testimony before Congress by a lawyer and a retired federal judge. The point I'm making is that all of the things that, well, the vast majority of the things that were noted in trance, and the personalities as well have come to light. There's no way Kathy could have known these things. There's no way Kathy could have known any of these things unless she had experienced them. I mean, that's impossible, because the people had not heard about it until 12, 14, 15 years later. So it's an amazing book in so much as it's been validated by time. And we have not corrected anything in it other than a couple of typos. A fellow the other day tell us one major typo that was in there, and we're going to correct it. But it took from 1995 until now for anybody to give us a typo.
Well, of course, you know, the amazing thing about this whole scenario is you actually testified before the Intelligence Committee of both the House and the Senate, and then, of course, they put a gag order on it so that this information could never be released in the name of national security.
Yeah,
how would the truth coming out about certainly the terrible things that the CIA had done to Kathy and to so many other children and women, how could that possibly hurt our national security?
Well, here's the problem. We actually provided testimony to the both houses and their permanent select committees for intelligence oversight. When they reviewed our testimonies, it was all redacted. So, and like Nancy Pelosi said on national television the other day, she said, the permanent select committee for intelligence oversight in the House is a joke. She said, we don't oversee anything. She said, by the time we see it, it is nothing but black ink. She said, they don't tell us anything, and then they say, okay, you've reviewed, we're done. And that's the end of it. The National Security Act has got to be repealed. So it's going to take, you know, a grassroots effort is what I have finally determined, because writing your congressman and voting people in and voting people out doesn't seem to stop this shadow government. What we need to do is on a grassroots level, and I heard this many years ago, and it's quite correct, everybody needs to play a role, because you can influence your local politicians, and they can influence up the ladder. So we are doing our part, you're doing your part, and quite frankly, I think I'm seeing a whole lot of progress, because there's so much more transparency than there has been.
Well, you know, there's just so many things have come out. Could you tell a little bit about Dr. Ewan Cameron? He was the head of the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association. I think, was it both of them or just one of them?
Dr. Ewan Cameron was the first head of the American Psychiatric Association. And Dr. Cameron was actually put in place by the CIA. And there's no question about that. It's well documented. And Dr. Cameron was caught only because a prime minister, I believe, or one of the cabinet members, his wife had gone into a hospital for treatment of depression. When she came out, she was a virtual vegetable. And then when he began to research, he found out that the United States government had a peace treaty with Canada, and it was based upon the 1947 National Security Act, and he was not allowed to pursue the case. Well, he did pursue it, and the Frank Church hearings in 1977 brought out the fact that, indeed, Dr. Cameron was guilty of all these atrocities, and Dr. Cameron was indeed the mainstay at that time, still, of all the information that American psychiatrists, well, really psychiatrists all over the world, that was their information source. So it was all well contained, and the psychiatrists really, they didn't know what they were seeing, and they were not really equipped to diagnose it.
Well, because what the Cameron did, he was torturing this woman to destroy her mind, and he managed to do it. It was funded with our tax money. That's the incredible thing. They just wanted to see what would happen, just scientific curiosity. Mm-hmm. And eventually they were forced actually to make settlements with some of these tragic victims whose memory and mind will never be the same again, thanks to American Central Intelligence Agency's macabre programs, the same people who see nothing wrong with torture today.
Right.
Well, I think that's so important the American people realize that men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. You can go up on the Internet and look up you and Cameron, and, of course, there's a great deal of information up there. They've even put together programs up in Canada. They don't show them here in the United States. Have they ever shown any of those documentaries here in America?
Yeah, they had The Sleep Room, which is one of the best documentaries that I have ever seen on Dr. Cameron and his horrible work. The Sleep Room was banned in the United States. I ordered it as a fake library and got a copy.
Okay, then we'll be back in just a moment here. But you see, they really don't want you to know. Right ahead, Mark.
But The Sleep Room, Dr. Stan, was more or less a documentary, even though it was a drama. It was a very clear and well-done documentary, which showed exactly what Dr. Cameron was doing and what his work entailed. What bothers me, Dr. Stan, more than anything else, was why were they doing something that had already been determined 2 decades previous? Why were they recreating the wheel? They already knew all of this stuff. Why were they paying this guy to this doctor, this evil, evil doctor, to do these things to people when it had already been done in double-blind studies and everything else, both in Germany and in other countries, as well as the U.S.? It was beyond my comprehension. What in the world were they thinking about? I mean, even a sociopath would ask the question, why do you want to do this again? You've already done it. That's the part that has always perplexed me.
Well, it's sort of like the project, the Tuskegee project with the plaques, and they'd already done the project over in Switzerland, over in Sweden, to see how syphilis ravaged the bodies of people, and they'd already knew the answer, and so then they decided, they recruited 400 black men, told them they're going to be treated for their syphilis, and then intentionally withheld treatment so they would all die, and they intended to kill them all, and this went right up to the very upper echelons of the Department of Health and Education at that time, and of course eventually it was a free law student who broke the story and got it in the New York Times, and then everybody is saying, oh, how could that have happened? We have a wonderful 4-tape set on the Tuskegee study, if you've never heard about it, and with an interview with a man who broke this story, and forced the Secretary of Health at that time to resign, but nobody was ever punished for killing all those black men.
Well, I mean, Cheney's standing up in front of God and everybody almost every day on your television sets, and this guy is a recluse. He reminds me of a recluse spider. But nevertheless, he's been out there touting the fact that, they only tortured 3 people. That's not true. The Red Cross says that's not true. Nobody else has said that's true. But regardless of the fact, he in one sense admitted on national television that those 3 men were the ones they wanted to hold responsible for a number of activities that those people didn't even know about, like the attack on the Twin Towers and the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that didn't exist, and the list goes on. What they were doing was torturing these people to give a false testimony, because that's what torture is good for. It's not any good for extracting information. That's preposterous.
It's for programming, not for extracting information.
That's right, Kathy. It's strictly for programming. You want to extrapolate on that, Kathy, I would appreciate it.
Well, I know that Dick Cheney, you know, personally, that Dick Cheney is well aware of that fact and used it on me throughout the Reagan-Bush administration when I worked under him out of the Pentagon on the White House.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kathy O'Brien was just saying that she actually worked under the direct supervision of Dick Cheney when he was working in the Pentagon during the Bush administration. Was that Bush or Reagan administration or both? Kathy?
I call it the Reagan-Bush administration because George Bush was certainly in control of the White House during the Reagan administration.
Right. And then, of course, he controlled the Ronald Reagan after the attempt on Ronald Reagan's life. Why, he sort of sat back and let Bush run things so he could run out his 8 years. And then, of course, Bush took over. So we really had a 12-year period where George Herbert Walker Bush ran the government of the United States. But, of course, we couldn't let the American people know that. I mean, Ronald Reagan was a great figurehead, wonderful smile, wonderful quips. You really liked him. But the man who ran the government was, of course, George Bush. Well, basically, you were talking about Dick Cheney as you knew him during that time. Did you consider him an evil man at that time?
Oh, I couldn't really think to think in those terms, but he certainly was. He's the most violent, vicious person that I ever encountered, and he ordered tortures. He inflicted torture. He's just a violent, horrible person, and the tortures he inflicted were for the purposes of programming me to carry out criminal covert government operations that were going on at that time. So this is nothing new for him, in spite of him acting like it's only happened since 9/11. It's actually happened as long as I've known him.
And of course, for anybody who wants to doubt that, of course, they can read the book that was written, 1995, that tells all about Dick Cheney. But, of course, isn't it amazing that here in the United States, where we have freedom of the press, nobody is going to go on to ABC, CBS, or NBC to talk about your book, Sidney, The Transformation of America. And, of course, the other book, The Access Denied. I think you did a radio program the other night, though. I know that you must have got a good response because I think you sold 100 copies of your book, and we sold about 20 of them because we're one of the few people who actually carries the book.
Actually, I think we sold close to 500 copies of the book.
Well, I'm so glad you did.
And that's probably way underestimating. I know of 500.
Great.
But, nevertheless, all total, there were probably 2,000 books sold off of that one radio show, and still counting. The fact remains, there are only a couple of two or three really large shows that have, you know, like hundreds of affiliates out there. And that Coast to Coast show was not particularly one of our best shows because we had it all structured so that we could introduce the concept. I could introduce myself and where I came from and how I was able to get Kathy out, and then was going to turn over to Kathy. Well, he started it off with Kathy, very adversarial, and it stayed that way throughout the show. Well, I heard from probably 150 of his listeners, and they were very agitated at him. I said, well, don't tell me about it. Tell him about it. So I don't know if we'll ever be back on Coast to Coast again. It's doubtful. I would like to have a second chance. But
it's really difficult. It's difficult getting this information out. And there's a lot of people that are afraid of the very thought of mind control. But it's a reality that we all need to face because knowledge is our only defense against it.
You're absolutely right. And it's so vitally important that we do get your information out and Mark's information. Of course, Mark, where did you learn how to deprogram Kathy and Mark?
Well, Dr. Stan, my affiliation with the intelligence community began in the mid to late 60s, and I was recruited. I preferred to go to work for our government and to serve in the intelligence community rather than go and be cannon fodder in Vietnam. I was working in places like prisons, both state and federal military prisons, the your case, primate centers in Colorado and Atlanta. We were studying what was known as behavior modification programs. This was all under the umbrella of a program that I was unaware of the name of. I'd only heard it rumored, MK Ultra. And it was from that basis, for over a decade of being involved in mind control research, but not no torture. I never saw anything being tortured, not even once. That was another group, I guess, that lacked the social conscience. And believe you me, the CIA knew my mind inside and out because they had tested me for so long. But I actually enjoyed my work. I felt like that all of our mental institutions would be emptied out by 2000. Most of the doctors that I worked with agreed. They thought that too, that we were making enormous progress to helping mankind. I had no idea.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, go ahead, Mark. You were saying that you really thought this group you were working with were going to have an impact on the prisons, should be able to alter the mental outlook of the prisoners, and then, of course, you would be able to empty our prisons.
Yeah, I mean, it was an actual rehabilitation of the criminal mind, and not in a way of just layering these people over or torturing them to where they didn't know who they were or know themselves anymore. It was actually, they were actually teaching them how to know themselves and how... Not what to think, but how to think, and how to think in a non-criminal manner. Now, of course, there are many of these criminals that are locked up that are incorrigible, that have anything from brain disorders that they're born with to mental disorders that are as a result of a brain hemorrhage or injury or something. But for the most part, most of the people could have been rehabilitated using some of the incredible methods that they were using. But instead, we have more prisons now and more people in prison now than ever before. We have privatized prisons, which is, I believe, against our Constitution. The whole situation is exactly upside down from what I believed it was going to be. And when I found out about Kathy and her daughter while I was working in a joint venture that I was a president of in the People's Republic of China in 1987, it was then that I found out through an intelligence officer, because we were working with the mining companies, and anything made out of metal is under the jurisdiction of the military over there. He explained to me that I had a partner that was involved in child and adult pornography, prostitution, of course, money laundering for drugs, and he worked for the CIA, and he went all the way to the White House. Well, I came home and turned it all in because it was a national security issue, and I was told the following day by someone with the Department of State to forget about it, and never mention it again. Well, needless to say, my conscience wouldn't allow this woman and her daughter to continue to be so horribly abused as I knew they were. So I stepped forward thinking that I could get them help. Dr. Stan, there was no help. And Dr. Cullen Ross will tell you that in 1988, there was no help for anybody in this area because the lobby for the American Psychiatric and Psychological Associations was completely dumbfounded. They had no idea that that mind control even existed.
Hold that thought. We'll be back. Hold that thought. We'll be back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mark was just telling us how he really got involved, how he found out about Kathy, and of course, he decided to try to help her, and then of course in 1988, there was no help because nobody understood these associative personalities that had been created by the CIA and all of these secret programs. Of course, some of them had been created certainly by satanic cults here, and you have to understand that there are satanic cults in America, and the reason you don't know about them because of the FBI, one of their main major jobs is to deceive the people. They even have an organization that's called the False Memory Syndrome, the False Memory Society, and I'm sure you know that one, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, False Memory Foundation. Yeah, it's been exposed so many times for what it really is.
It's a CIA front to deceive the people.
I really don't think they're effective anymore whatsoever. They've been dehorned, as I say.
Right, because they were set up with some of the key CIA psychiatrists leading this organization, saying it's all a false memory. Why, none of these people are telling you that they're victims of CIA mind abuse or satanic child abuse, physical abuse.
Well, Dr. Stan, blood traumas and involving satanic ritual abuse is what Adolf Hitler told his sidekick Himmler he wanted to know more about, because the minds of these multi-generational families involved in these blood ritual religions like Satanism, these people had photographic memories. They had other extraordinary abilities, they could practically see from the back of their heads because of their visual acuity was so increased. There were a number of things that Hitler was absolutely convinced that he could create a new world order and create politicians that he could control through using this sort of trauma. Matter of fact, he committed his SS commanders to using Satanism or a brand thereof on his soldiers to traumatize them so that he could increase their abilities in some of these areas. Satanism and other blood trauma beliefs have been a way and means of traumatizing both the person committing the trauma, the onlooker, as well, of course, as the victim. And it only served really to fragment the minds of the individuals who were being tortured, and it used fear as a mechanism, particularly when it involved blood products. It used fear as a mechanism to control the memberships. And the Satanism thing is very real. It's been around forever, as far as I know, and it has been a trauma-based form of mind control that is really quite sophisticated, though the ones that are using it have no idea what the scientific basis of some of the things that they're doing is. They just do them. And the anticipated results, of course, come forth.
And of course,
Kathy was exposed to that stuff. And her father was sent to Boston. Am I getting that correct, Kathy?
Yes, uh-huh.
How old were you when your father was sent to Boston? You recall?
Kathy?
Yes?
How old were you when your father was sent to Boston?
I was very young. It was when I was first thrust into the project, which was at about age 6.
All right, fine. So this sort of thing, we hear these stories from other people. So this Kathy's not the only one. Of course, Kathy is one of the few people who wanted to come on and talk about it. A lot of people to this very day are afraid to go public with this. Well, now tell them, Mark, before we go on, do you have a website you'd like to get out?
Yeah, I do, Doctor. If people would just type in ForReasonsOfNationalSecurity.com, they will go to our transformation, that's trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, and then a hyphen formation.com. But just type in ForReasonsOfNationalSecurity.com, and if they would like to come to this event that is going to be held in our speaking event with Dr. Ross in Los Angeles on June the 5th, they can simply phone or they can go on our website and get the information, or phone 805-653-1588. That's 805-653-1588. And they can get all the information there, or they can call, or they can go to our website. We would love to have them. I think we're going to have a number of people from the Hollywood sector there. I believe we'll have a number of doctors, as well as a lot of people just wanting to know the truth.
And, of course, the thing is that most psychiatrists are not in a position to handle this, or most psychologists, although at least some of them are beginning to recognize these syndromes now. These people with dissociative personalities that have been created by trauma, by an organized program of trauma during the childhood.
I believe it's because the mental health system was kept in the dark through Dr. Ewan Cameron way back when.
Sure.
And the information never did surface. And even now, getting it to surface is very difficult because people don't even realize that mind control exists. They're just now debating the concept of torture. You know, I mean, we've got quite a ways to go. But fortunately, that information is available on how to heal from those kind of traumas in Access Denied.
All right, fine. And Sydney, I know we've talked to Colin Ross a number of times, Dr. Ross, and I think he's down in Houston somewhere there in Texas. But, I mean, he's developed some techniques but apparently it's a long, long, slow process to undo all the damage that has been intentionally inflicted upon children.
Well, it took, you know, when I rescued Kathy in February 8th, 1988, she didn't even know her name. She didn't know how old she was. She didn't know where she'd been. Real basic things. It took 9 full months of working with her, really 16, 18 hours a day, no doctor can do that, for Kathy to refuse, and that is coming together like a fusion, her basic persona. You don't have multiple personalities, you just have one personality gets fragmented, and Kathy's had been fragmented, and many say polyfragmented, which polyfragmented means in parts into many other parts. It took that long for Kathy to become fused and know who she was, know where she'd been, and know who in her past had been responsible for her state of mind. And then, of course, the healing process, and you can't recover 30 years of memory in 9 months. That's preposterous. You can't even do it in 30 years. So as the information percolated up over the first 2 years, I took the key information, we handed it over to cooperative people, members of U.S. Customs Investigation, where I had some friends, and they dredged up the facts. There was enough to support her statements that she made, sworn statements to two federal agencies, and we took that information, compiled it, and all the stuff that we could get validated, and then presented it to the Permanent Select Committees on Intelligence Oversight. And they were not allowed to review it. They couldn't even see it. So when we turned it over to them and we found out that they were not allowed to review it, I sent a copy of the book to every member of Congress and their wives.
And what sort of response did you get from that?
Your show's not long enough. We got the response came out and trickled down for a long time. We even got one delivered to Barbara Bush at a family gathering at Christmas time. Dick Cheney's daughter, Lynn Cheney Jr., we got her on tape saying to a reporter after he confided in her, what did you think about that book? And she said, well, I read part of it, and, you know, I wouldn't put anything past Daddy. End of story.
Well, I mean, a daughter knows her dad.
Yep.
Well, if you haven't read the book Transformation of America, it's really quite a revelation. It's not a nice book. In other words, the things that we're talking about are nice night, but we're killing people all over the world. We have our troops stationed in 130 nations. We're fighting in Afghanistan. Why are we still fighting in Afghanistan? Oh, we've got to kill all those Taliban. Well, we trained the Taliban. We provided the textbooks that were put in the Islamic schools. The word Taliban is student. We provided the textbooks to introduce this radical radical form of Islam, which did not exist outside of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia. We created this whole scenario, the best enemies money could buy. And after training these young people with American textbooks, and if you doubt that, just give us a call. We'll be glad to send you the article, The ABCs of Jihad, from, of all places, the Washington Post, telling how we finance the textbooks that introduce these radical ideas in the minds of the young people. And now our boys are over there killing them, and they're killing our boys. And ladies and gentlemen, why would these things go on? It just doesn't make sense.
Follow the money, Doctor. 75%, and this is an accurate figure as of this week, 75% of the world's opium trade comes out of Afghanistan. Why are we not burning those fields like we burn the fields of coca plants in South America? Why are we? I can tell you why. It becomes incredibly obvious to men that have gone over there and served that we are protecting those fields.
Yeah.
That's called what we outlined in both Trance and Access Denied. That's the cash cow for the CIA's black operations.
And what people must understand is the wicked Taliban had stopped the opium trade, almost completely stopped it there in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
One reason we went in was to get the poppy trade back. We control the country. Why is the poppy trade there? Well, it's either we've got the stupidest people in the world running our military, or they've been ordered to protect the opium plants. There are more opium plants and poppy plants than ever before. Ladies and gentlemen, you and your tax money is protecting the opium trade, and we cannot let that information get out. So anyway, let's get back, though, to the experiences that certainly you and Kathy have had. And do we have any evidence that they are still in the process of carrying out these macabre experiments on people and on children?
Doctor, I really don't know that they are still carrying out experiments. I can't imagine why they would need to or want to.
We certainly hear from a lot of people that are still being exposed to it, and subsequently they are reading Access Denied and are healing with the information. That's happening on military levels, intelligence levels, and in the civilian populations around the world. So mind control is definitely still ongoing, and with the tortures being, you know, justified in our media today, I can't imagine any reason why we should even think for a moment that it's stopping.
Presidents stand up before the population, apologize, and say that the mind control experiments will never go on again. What they don't tell you is, and we recently heard on our media, thank goodness, that some of our Air Force personnel, Marines, and other special forces areas particularly, are subjected to trauma-based mind control so that they cannot be, their memory of what their mission is could not be divulged through torture or through any other means of coercion. When we heard this being announced on the national medias here, that was a great big win for us, because we've known this for years, that we're still using mind control, and we're actually using trauma-based mind control.
When you consider
that, soldiers.
And when you consider the mind control of the masses through media's manipulation of trauma, or when trauma occurs in society, when we see the same traumatic images on TV over and over again, like we did with 911, or like we did with, or like we're seeing right now on the torture issue, it's traumatizing people. And when that kind of trauma occurs, the people that are in control of our government, the shadow government, is well aware of the fact that when people are traumatized, they're more suggestible and easily led. And when they're wanting to lead the population into a conditioned response, then we see more trauma. So we know that mind control is definitely happening on a mass scale.
Well, are they using hypnosis at all?
Hypnosis? Well, hypnosis in my book is only focusing someone, and focusing someone who is already focused, in other words, they've been traumatized, is kind of like putting a fish in water and trying to drown him. Yes, in one sense the word hypnosis is used, but when someone has been traumatized, they're in a constant state of hypnotic trance, in a constant state. It's never broken until they're released. Kathy was such a survivor of that. Whereas some doctors originally had tried to use hypnosis as a form of rehabilitating people like Kathy, and it is not the way to do it, of course, because you cannot refocus someone without reprogramming them.
Well, that's telling them what to think instead of teaching them how to think.
So I had to teach Kathy to think for herself. I didn't allow her to look at newspapers. I didn't allow her to watch television. She was totally secluded so that nothing, because anything she saw might become a part of her memory. And I did not want to contaminate her memory. I wanted to come out to where I could actually have it investigated, because I knew the first time that the investigators ran into something that was, you know, was not provable, they would back away. And so I had to be very careful about what was turned over to them. So I turned over her journals, or copies thereof, of what she'd written out, and highlighted those areas that we were confident that were spot on. And there's a way of doing that. And that's all outlined. You know, access denied is the antidote for trance. Dr. Stan, we've been criticized many times for being a part of the problem because we traumatized so many people when they read trance. And that's another reason Access Denied was written, plus the fact that it's the basis for what we hope will be a movie coming very soon. The bottom line is, it is the antidote for trance. You read trance, and then you read Access Denied, and you get a whole new perspective, and then you want to become a part of the solution.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people have this information and understand it is very real. You can go up on the Internet and look up the false memory syndrome versus CIA-sponsored organization. They, of course, they're not going to tell you they're sponsoring it, but they have chapters all, or at least one time they had chapters all across America. And its function, of course, was to say that this sort of thing just doesn't occur. It's all a false memory. The people who are telling you about the horrible tortures, the horrible things that have been done to them when they were a child, it's all made up. And, of course, I mean, it really wasn't being made up, but they had to key and seal this from the American people. And, of course, now you don't hear much about this. Anybody who comes forward, they immediately will demonize them and attack them and vilify them. We can't let the American people know the truth. Well, our guest has been Kathy O'Brien, Mark Phillips. We'll be right back. Well, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Who's going to take the lead here?
Kathy, I've been talking too much.
Oh, not at all. Well, I'm just always excited at the whole concept that it is truth that makes us free. And they've been wanting to suppress this truth so that they can control the people. It's time it emerges. And ultimately, the greatest justice would be positive change through public awareness. And the population needs to become aware of this. Knowledge is our only defense against mind control. And we've got to bring it to light so that people can know the truth and learn to expand their own thinking and learn how to think again and make a difference in this world.
And of course,
the torture.
I think people have to understand that the major media in the United States today is used to control our minds until people understand that they are being manipulated by the frightening or fearful things that they see, the very intense programming that they see. All of this is designed to mold our minds, to create our tastes, create the sort of thought process we have. Until people understand the media is being used to control us, we're never going to be able to be truly free.
No, we won't. And the fact is, we form our thoughts, we form our opinions based on what we read, based on what we see and hear. And we tend to, most Americans unfortunately tend to believe what they see on television or in the movies more than they would what's right before their very eyes or reading it. People have stopped reading so much as they have tuning in to Rush Limbaugh and other other people that are just mouthpieces for the bad guys. We're looking forward to the day that more of this information emerges, particularly in how it's doing right now, and people like yourself and Kathy and I are nobody's going to come back and say, Dr. Stan, I'm so sorry I didn't believe you 15 years ago. And they're not going to come back to us and say, gee whiz, I feel like an idiot now. You were right all along, Mark and Kathy. We're not going to hear that. I don't care. All I want them to do is become enlightened with the truth.
Well, here's the line I love, and I've heard it a number of times. You know, we used to think you were crazy, and now we're afraid you're not. So all we can do is just put out the truth. And I look at it this way. My job is to put out information. Only God's going to make people believe or not believe. And if they're supposed to believe, they're going to. Well, anyway, I guess it's been Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Mark and Kathy, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to seeing you real soon.
May God bless you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we do hope that you enjoyed our interview. If you'd like to get the complete program, either on CD or tape, while we do, of course, talk during the breaks. We carry the book by Dr. Colin Ross called The CIA Doctors, going to this whole program put forward by the CIA to destroy the minds of people. Oh, just one of those nice little experiments paid for with your tax money. Of course, a lot of these ideas came out of the Nazi concentration camps, and the CIA worked with many of the Nazi doctors that they brought over here under Operation Paperclip. You've never heard of Paperclip? We have a 4-tape set on Operation Paperclip. We do carry these excellent books, The Transformation of America, and that's TRANCE, Formation of America, and then, of course, Access Denied, the books written by Kathy and Mark. Of course, if you don't know anything about Tuskegee study, we have a 4-tape set where a government set out to kill these 400 black men, and nobody was ever punished for it, and they killed most of them, the vast majority of them, they killed. But, of course, from the syphilis, they allowed them to die without treatment. And the experiment had already been done in Sweden. They didn't have to repeat it. But there are people who look at the world differently. Major General Tuguba's report's up on the Internet, but we do carry it. It's a rather large report, but it's well worthwhile reading to see what a courageous military officer would do. I'd like to see him Chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We have a 4-tape set on Operation Monarch, just called Monarch, about these bizarre experiments that have been done. We actually carry the Church Committee reports. They're put out by the Church Committee back in 1977 when they exposed what the CIA had done. They tried to destroy all the records, and somebody working in government, because there are lots of good people in government, hid the records, and they weren't destroyed. And when a request came under the Information Act, they sent a whole box of the records of the horrible things the CIA was doing, and their murders and their assassinations. We actually have a CD-ROM. It was the CIA records, 18,000 pages of CIA documents. That's a CD-ROM with the 18,000 pages of the suppressed documents they never wanted the American people to see. And then, of course, there's so much more available from Radio Liberty. We have a 4-tape set on mind control. We have all sorts of things that you're not going to get elsewhere. You go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at the items we have. But if you're only going to get one thing, get Transformation of America and Access Denied. Also, I think that certainly Dr. Colin Ross's book is so vitally important. He is an internationally known physician, and more doctors are seeing more and more of these patients, trying, of course, to learn how to treat these tragic victims of the Central Intelligence Agency, which has really been destroying the minds of children. And remember that the program, it was called The Pretender on television, about the little children who were actually taken and used as experiments. This was not a make-believe, ladies and gentlemen. This is what your tax dollars are doing. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. This is not a nice thing. I don't like to talk about it. This is not done by my government. This was done by their government. There is an invisible government. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand who these evil and wicked people are and to understand their motivation. My talk on the forbidden secret, with the syllabus that comes with that, there really is a secret out there, and it's been kept from the American people for many generations. We hope you'll go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and pull down our newsletters if you want to know how they engineered the whole financial collapse and what's going to happen as they move to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. Why, of course, read my newsletters, November, December of last year, and January, February, March of this year. If you want to know the plan, you can get it. It's on the Internet. It's called the Earth Charter, where they talk about equitable distribution of wealth within the